From 1 Samuel chapter 16. The Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you grieve over Saul? I have rejected him from being king over Israel. Fill your horn with oil and set out. I will send you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided for myself a king among his sons." Samuel said, "How can I go? If Saul hears of it, he will kill me." And the Lord said, "Take a heifer with you and say, 'I have come to sacrifice to the Lord.' Invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what you shall do. And you shall anoint for me the one whom I name to you." Samuel did what the Lord commanded and came to Bethlehem. The elders of the city came to meet him trembling and said, "Do you come peaceably?" He said, "Peaceably. I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Sanctify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice." And he sanctified Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. When they came, he looked on Eliab and thought, "Surely the Lord's anointed is now before the Lord." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord does not see as mortals see. They look on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart." Jesse made seven of his sons pass before Samuel, and Samuel said to Jesse, "The Lord has not chosen any of these." Samuel said to Jesse, "Are all your sons here?" And he said, "Well, there remains yet the youngest, but he is keeping the sheep." And Samuel said to Jesse, "Send and bring him, for we will not sit down until he comes here." He sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and had beautiful eyes and was handsome. The Lord said, "Rise and anoint him, for this is the one." Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon David from that day forward. Samuel sent that out and went to Ramah. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please pray with me. Dear God, may the words of my mouth and the listening ears of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight. O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. When Krista Tippett interviewed Marilyn Nelson, the poet, the first poem they talked about was this one. "My face, as foreign to me as a mask, allows people to believe they know me. 13-year-old American Negro girl," headlines would read if I was newsworthy, "but that's just the tip of the iceberg, me. I could spend hours searching the mirror for clues to my truer identity if someone didn't pound the bathroom door. You can't see what the mirror doesn't show. For instance, that after I close my book and turn off my lamp, I say to the dark, 'Give me a message I can give the world.' Afraid there's a poet behind my face, I beg until I've cried myself to sleep." You can't see what the mirror doesn't show. The words of this poet to the world, they resonate with our experiences. You can't see what the mirror doesn't show, but this passage tells us we can't, but the Lord can. The Lord sees the heart. That's what I want to hear. That God knows what is inside us. God knows who we are and cares who we are, not just what we look like on the surface, not just the sum total of our achievements in life or the sum total of our mistakes. God sees our hearts. God sees the broken places where we are in pain, where we know we've been less than we were created to be, where the rawness of our existence lives. God sees our hearts, the joys, the dreams we have, the things that we care about beyond words, the things for which we don't have words. God sees whether our faith is at the core of who we are. God sees whether on the inside what we believe matters to us and whether we will fight even with ourselves to do the right thing, even when it's really, really hard. Samuel has made this journey to Bethlehem because Samuel's heart tells him to follow God's lead, even when it seems crazy. Samuel's been doing that all along. Remember how he heard God calling him in the stillness of the night when he was still a boy. Now he once again journeys to follow God, this time on a mission that is dangerous, that could get him in trouble with a sitting king. Saul has disobeyed God, and God has decided that he no longer recognizes Saul as king. So Samuel goes to find the next anointed one. First, he finds the oldest son of Jesse, who looks and acts the part of king. That's the one who would be the obvious pick. But that's just not how God works. God doesn't care at all about what we think is obvious and normal because God sees the heart. And in David, God sees the heart of a shepherd. God sees the heart of a man who, when he becomes king, will still make terrible choices, horrendous mistakes. But David will never do what Saul did. He will not intentionally put what the people want in the place of what God wants. When he is called back to God, he always wants to go. He will remain faithful to God. That is the heart that God sees when he looks at David. Now, it turns out David was good looking. The narrator tells us that. We know that he's clever, too, the way he won against the giant Goliath with a slingshot. But most of all, David's heart is full of love for God. At one point, he dances for joy in such a way that it puts his marriage at risk because all he cares about is loving God. And he cannot contain that joy. So what's in our hearts? Can we let ourselves dive down into our hearts and know and feel and believe that God and God's love is the journey we were created to go on? Can we see the love that was planted there and let it be free to flow in us? So many other noises that we have to silence in our minds if we want to hear God's voice. So many other demands that will stop us from just knowing who we are, God's beloved children. All the time, that's who we are. As I looked at the pictures this week, I was drawn to images of crowds. I kept wondering what was in each person's heart. When I was growing up, when most of you were growing up, most people had some religion, had some faith that they were taught by their families, their religious communities. But now, there are a lot of people who don't have a religious background at all. So what about them? I believe God still planted God's love in their hearts. I believe we were all made with that love of God, that image of God imprinted on us. More than several times in my life, as a pastor, I've met people who have come to church because their young child, who they had never mentioned God to and never brought to church, started asking questions about God. People may not have been raised in the faith, and they may not have a name for God. They may not have a theological language that helps them give voice to what they believe, but in their heart, they have something that God sees, and they have something that guides them toward God. The journey may not look the same, but the love and the willingness to fight to be faithful to what they cannot even name can still be there in the place where God sees it. There are lots of ways to serve God in the world today. So many ways. And one of them is to help give people the language that meets what they sense on the inside. Language about loving God and being part of a community that worships God. Language about eternal life, about who Jesus is. Jesus who changed us, transformed us, taught us that we are forgiven, that we get mercy, and we need to give it too. Even as someone who was born into the church, there every Sunday and everything else that happened during the week in between, even from that place, I know there have been times in my life when I've needed someone to point out the language that connects what I'm experiencing with my faith in God, to connect the dots for me. Sometimes it's been done gently and kindly, other times more firmly. Like the person who told me the only way to get through the bad times is to keep walking in faith. You can't go around it. You have to go through it to the other side. But when you are in the midst of it, the pain and the sorrow, you have to remember Easter Sunday is coming. Because Easter Sunday is always coming. Friends, whatever we do or don't see when we look in the mirror, God sees our hearts. We are known. We are forgiven. We are loved. Praise God for that good grace. And may we respond with hearts full of faith. In Jesus' name, amen.